Let us stand for the entrance antiphon. O sing a new song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders in the sight of the nations. He has shown his deliverance. Alleluia. Welcome, church family. I offer up this Mass for our church family, both living and deceased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and my words, and what I have done, and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those who are pleased to make new and holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The responsorial psalm. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of all your people.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of all your people.
I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust.
I will praise you, Lord.
And to him my soul shall live, my descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generations be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown.
I will praise you, Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now, this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us and we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do whatever pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. When we listen to our Lord in the Gospel, he gives us a way of understanding his relationship with the Father and the relationship that he has with his disciples because of the relationship he has with his Father. He says and he reveals to us that it is the intention of the Father that we bear fruit. What kind of fruit is he talking about? And how is it that we realize when we're remaining in him? He reveals to us when we remain in him, that's the only way. Not that it's possible that we can bear fruit in another way, but that's the only way. Without him, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We can bear no good fruit. It makes me think about when I read about St. Thérèse. I looked at the statue we have of St. Thérèse, the little flower. I remember she was in the convent and she was praying. And there was this particular sister. Whenever she prayed, she was always distracted. She was making noises. And as they were praying, she could hear every movement that she made. And there were other things that she would do unintentionally that just kind of kept annoying her. Certain things that she did kept annoying her. It was always distracting, annoying her. So she made a choice. She wanted to make a choice to bear good fruit. So she chose to love that sister, to go out of her way to be friends with her, to make her become our close friend. There was no human natural motivation. She saw this as opportunity to bear fruit. To bear fruit meaning that she was going to mature in her love for the Lord. She was going to be a way of her loving Christ purely because of her faith, that Christ was present in her. It was nothing about her that gave her consolation or made it want her to be her friend. It was purely motivated by her faith that Christ was in her, and that by being close to her, by treating her as her best friend, she was going to mature in her love for Christ, that her love for Christ would grow, would mature. And so that was exactly what happened. So much so that after Saint Therese died, she said that she didn't know what it was about Saint Therese that made her want to be her friend. That she treated her like she was her best friend. And she said she didn't know why. It was a mystery for her. She didn't understand what was her motivation, her desire to do this. And only when we read the story of this soul, when you read her journal, we read about her spiritual life, that we realize her motivation was Christ. There was another story I remember about St. Louis de Montfort. And he was going to give a retreat at a convent. And he was dressed not as a priest. He kind of was dressed in ragged clothes. And when he knocked on the door, and he said, "In the name of Christ, give me something to eat." And the sister, she looked at him, and she didn't recognize him as a priest. And she said, "I'm sorry, we don't have anything." He repeated the same thing, "In the name of Christ, give me something to eat." He said it three times, and three times she denied him. And then he said to her that he was the priest that was going to give the retreat. And he rebuked her for not giving him food in the name of Christ. So she welcomed and embraced him, and she welcomed him and gave him hospitality because he was a priest. Because in a formal way, without really having a deep sense of faith, she's a religious. She saw once he was a priest, in a formal way, she had faith that he was the presence of Christ. But when he was a beggar, just asking for food in the name of our Lord, she didn't see Christ in him. She failed the opportunity to bear good fruit. So my question is this. I think the Lord is asking me and all of us, what is our motivation? When we encounter someone else, do we try to show them charity because they can do something for us? Do we have a hidden agenda, a hidden motive, where we want this individual to do something that we want? Are we motivated by that human natural inclination that we want to be close to this or that person or do this or that just so that there will be a point in time when we will expect something from them that we want in return? Is that our motivation? Is that our relationship towards each other? Is that how we look at each other? Do we look at each other to show charity, like we heard St. John said in the first letter, to keep God's commandment, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Because our Lord says that he wants us to love each other, not as we choose to love each other, and our own personal interpretation of how we want to love each other. But our Lord says that as the Father loves him, he loves us. And he said to his disciples that we have to love each other as Christ has loved us. That is a huge challenge for each and every one of us, to love with the heart of Christ. That is a huge challenge. How can we possibly do this? We can do this. Because if Christ gives us a commandment where it's not a suggestion, it's not an option, if he commands us as our Lord to do this, then and he doesn't give us the capacity to do it, if he doesn't give us the grace or the Holy Spirit, the spirit of charity, if he does not give it, that would be cruel. How do you give an order as a general in war? If a general in war tells a soldier, go do this, and they don't lead by example, or they don't empower that soldier to do that task, that would be cruel. So we know that our Lord is not cruel, that he's not going to give us this ambiguous challenge or commandment and then say, good luck with that. Hope it works out. Not only does he give us a commandment, but he gives us the grace and the spirit, his spirit, to accomplish it. So that we do what? We depend on him and not on ourselves or not even on someone else. We depend on the Spirit of Christ who already lives in us. The Lord already gave us the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bold. How bold? So bold that Saul became Paul. The one who was a murderer became a martyr. He went from chasing down Christians so that they become imprisoned and die, to the degree where he embraced and bare witness to Christ. The same man, not a different man, but that same man. So much that we heard that he bare witness to Christ. All the apostles were afraid. They didn't even want to talk to him. We heard in the first letter, the Acts of the Apostles, they want nothing to do with Paul. They heard, oh, he had a conversion. Okay, I don't want to talk to this guy. They didn't want anything to do with him. Barnabas had to literally go to Paul and say, look, he's good. He's not bad. He's not going to kill you. Don't worry. They still were afraid of him. That's how bad his reputation was. They still were, even though they heard about his conversion, they said, yeah. They didn't believe. Barnabas had to go seek out Paul and said, no, I saw him. He truly has converted. How much show that when he preached to the Hellenists, they were trying to kill him. Just imagine you bear witness to Christ and someone's trying to kill you. Will you still speak out? Will I speak out? Will we speak out? I don't know. It's a hypothetical question. I don't know. But what I do know is that the Lord is calling us to depend on his Spirit, to love as Christ loves. Will we ask the Spirit to help us to do this in the here and now, that we may be able to bear fruit, fruit that will last, and glorify our Father in heaven through us on earth? Let us stand to profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus abides forever in the Father's love. Confident of that love, we turn to him with our petitions, that all members of the church may remember and fulfill their mission to go and bear fruit by bringing the message and love of Christ. We pray to the Lord. That world leaders may bear fruit by working for peace and the well-being of their people every day. We pray to the Lord. That the beauty of spring may remind us of the all-powerful Creator who designed the universe. We pray to the Lord. That the people of Ethiopia and China may be freed from the terror that threatened their lives, of their families and loved ones. We pray to the Lord. That the generosity of our benefactors may inspire us to share with others who are less fortunate than ourselves. We pray to the Lord. For the sake of the parish and for all those whose names are listed in the bulletin, that they may be freed from danger, relieved of suffering, and embraced with compassion and God's gentle care, we pray to the Lord. For our beloved dead, for the deceased of the St. Martin de Porres parish family, and for the souls of our family and friends, that they may enjoy eternal life with the Lord in glory, we pray to the Lord. For the special intentions we hold in the silence of our heart, we pray to the Lord. God, our gracious Father, may we have the grace to remain in your Son as branches on a vine. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, what will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, what will become our spiritual drink. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O God, who by the wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice, have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to claim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously. When Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, through him the children of light rise to eternal life, and the halls of the heavenly kingdom are thrown open to the faithful, for his death is our ransom from death, and in his rising the life of all has risen. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, and become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and gave you thanks. He said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and gave you thanks. He said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension to heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognize in the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints. On this constant session in your presence, we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. be pleased to confirm in faith and charity the Pilgrim Church on earth with your servant, Francis, our Pope, and Nelson, our Bishop, the Order of Bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family you have sown before you. In your compassion, merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all pleasing to you at their passing from this life. Give kind and mentors to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom we bestow on the world all that is good. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command to form a divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. True vine, and you are the branches, says the Lord. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, bears fruit in plenty. Alleluia. Let us pray. Graciously be present to your people, we pray, O Lord, and lead those you have imbued with heavenly mysteries to pass from former ways to newness of life through Christ our Lord. I thank you, brothers and sisters of Christ, for coming here together to give praise and thanksgiving to God for the gift of our faith and for the fellowship we experience, the charity we experience from each other. You know, this world they need the light of Christ. And I think that we're blessed that we are able to share that light with each other and share that faith that we have and love for our Lord. Hope everyone has a good and blessed week. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.